Let me call your attention to our scriptural passage for this morning. It comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. It's going to be on the screen, but also on the back of your sermon notes. Listen to these words known as the priestly blessing from the book known also as the Book of Movement. From Numbers, the 6th chapter, verses 22 to 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. You should say to them, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. In this way, you will pronounce my name over the Israelites and I will bless them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. May the Lord bless you. Let me give this warning. I want you to look to the right of you and look to the left of you very quickly. You don't feel comfortable by the person you're seated by, you can just get up now and move. This sermon is a sermon of participation. If you look at the screen, we have the title of the sermon, and let me thank you. We had 106 people who attended the movie yesterday, Overcomer. Yes. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, let me encourage you to do so. May the Lord bless you. If you look closely in your sermon notes, the first question that we have is this question. Are you an overcomer? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. Are you an overcomer? Henry Nouwen was a priest and a professor of psychology at some of the best universities in the country. Henry Nouwen retired, and later on he moved to the Le Archer community in Canada. And while there, Henry worked extremely well in the midst of him calling himself retired, ministering to the people from that community. One day they were in a worship experience. A young woman by the name of Janet came up to the altar and said that she wanted to be blessed. He made the cross on her forehead and prayed with her. She went back to her seat, and then after service, she said, that didn't do, it didn't work. And they were having an evening service, and she decided to come back to the evening service, but she was still disappointed that his blessing didn't work. During the evening service, to make a long story short, they had another altar call, and Janet was right up front, in front of Henry Nouwen. And Henry Nouwen said he finally got it. And he looked in her eyes and he said, Janet, may the Lord bless you. And with tears coming down her eyes, she embraced him and said, that's the blessing I needed the most. Others came along and they just wanted their name to be called as well and to know that they were blessed. Look to your neighbor, say their name and say, may the Lord bless you. Yeah, yeah. May the Lord bless you. For some people, somebody probably need to hear that word as a word of assurance to help them to become an overcomer. I don't want to give the movie away, so I'll move on, but I want to call your attention to the text. But I do want you to remember the title of the movie because it'll help us when we look at the scripture in Numbers, the 13th chapter, how it relates right there to the movie. Have you ever thought about what is the purpose of the book of Numbers? What is the purpose of the book of Numbers? I'm glad you asked. Now, the book of Numbers is tailored around and part of what we know as the Pentateuch or the Torah, the first five books of the Bible are the first five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then, of course, the last book that makes it a volume is Deuteronomy. And if you look at the book of Numbers is about movement. They're moving around. They're not stagnant. They're moving. Because the Bible is teaching us, if you look closely at the conclusion of the book of Exodus, you have the next book, which is known as the book of what? Leviticus. Leviticus deals with the priestly tribe and worship. Remember I shared with you a couple weeks ago, the book of Leviticus is a book that deals with worship, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It helps us in the context in which we worship God today to remember that the people of God worship God, and God was always in the center of their worship experience. Right here, in the center of their worship experience, you could find God. And so we use this platform as the center of the worship experience with the Bible. And wherever they would travel, God would be worshiped. When God wanted the people to stop, they would immediately surround themselves around the tabernacle, and they would worship God in spirit and in truth. They were heading from Mount Sinai, and they started in Mount Sinai, and they were heading to the promised land. Now, mind you, if you look closely in the background of the biblical text, you'll see here that the book of Numbers deals with a census. It was actually two. One is located in chapter 1, first three verses. Then if you look at Numbers, the 26th chapter, you'll see that they would take another census, and that was in response to them being disobedient to God. And God had to call judgment upon them, but yet God is gracious, and God allowed them to start over again. How many of you ever had to start over again with God? Amen. He's a God of a second chance and a third chance. And so they were getting ready to travel. It's going to be a journey. That's why it picks up from Exodus, and you can kind of leapfrog Leviticus right there to Numbers. It's a book of movement. Look to your neighbor and say movement. Yeah. And they were traveling. They were traveling along from Mount Sinai to the wilderness and Mount Perger, and then from there to the plains and Moab. And they were traveling. And God was leading them, and God was placed where? Oh, you were slow on that one. Here you go. I'm going to try it again. Let's try it again. God was where? Third time for a charm. God was where? He was in the center of their worship experience. He was in the center of their lives. He should be in the center of our hearts. He should be number one, not number two. And so the people of God in the book of Numbers were acknowledging the movement of God and how God was moving. Let me give you this definition as it relates to the book of Numbers, and maybe it'll help you, and I want you to help me. The next point, as it relates to the book of Numbers, right here on the screen, you'll see it now. The book of Numbers shows us how God wants to make the Hebrew people what? Strong. How God wants to make the Hebrew people strong. But I want you to read the last two sentences. Go ahead. They were what? Read that again. How many of you know people who just love to complain? Don't raise your hands. Just love to complain. They complain all the time. They complain about the weather. It's a sunny day right now, but boy, they'll say it's too hot. And then if it starts raining, they'll say, hey, I wish the rain would go away. Just complain, complain, complain. Here they are being led by God, and God was where? And God was leading and guiding them, and all they were doing was complaining, 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 complaining. They just love to complain. You don't know any people like that, do you? You don't even know no church folks like that, do you? No, no, no. Clyde, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Where's my Bible?
The center.
How do you know?
He said so.
Do you see it?
I see it.
I don't believe it. I got a problem because you told me it was at the center. I don't believe you.
Okay.
All right, that's right. He said, okay. All right. Yeah, just complaining. Things could be right there, crystal clear. And they were just walking around complaining. A journey that would actually take them just 2 years ended up taking them 40 years. Why? They kept complaining. But where was God? God didn't move. He didn't move. Wayne?
Hello, Kevin.
I got a feeling by divine prophecy. You were watching that ball game last night, wasn't you?
I sure was.
All right, who won? Yeah, who won?
University of Florida.
That's right.
And you're going to play the other team in a couple weeks.
How many Gators fans we have in here? Just raise your hands. All right, there you go. Chop, chop. Okay, I see you. How many Hurricane fans we have? Remember, you're in church now. Come on. Everybody wasn't going for the Gators. Yeah. And even when your team lose, you do what? Complain. You complain. They were complaining, complaining, complaining. God was where? And they were complaining. I want you to look in the screen, and our staff is reading a phenomenal book. It's called I Will. Not I could, I might, I can, I should. It's called I Will. And in chapter 4 of that book, it's a challenge, and it's a challenge that our staff has decided to accept this challenge. Because when we looked at that book, it's a strong suggestion that the membership, the members of the church, should try this challenge. And I'm going to challenge our membership as well, starting September 1st. For 90 days, not to complain about anything that goes on in the church. Let me say that again. Microphone wasn't working. I know you didn't hear me. For 90 days, not to complain about anything that goes on in the church. Not to complain, not to have any negativity at all. And we hope that that would spill over into our daily and personal lives. Not to be complainers, just complain, complain, complain. Have you ever been around people just whine, all they need is some cheese? Some of you will get that on the way home. Yeah. But it's a good challenge because God is gracious and God should be at the center of our lives. But look at the text. They receive what is known as the priestly blessing. It's coming from Aaron, the brother of Moses. And Aaron is told by Moses, right there in the text, 22nd verse, he's told by Moses to bless the people of God, you and your sons, bless the people of God. Share with them that God wants to bless them. And he shares in three forms. And he's encouraging them to accept this blessing. But guess what these people decided to do? Complain. Complain. God was where? Yes. And they just wanted to complain. How do we know? Look at Numbers chapter 11. In Numbers of chapter 11, you'll see where the people were complaining. They were just complaining, complaining, complaining. And then if you notice, in chapter 12, it takes a turn. How many of you watch Steve Harvey? And he comes on at 7 and then 7:30, same show. What is the name of that show? I couldn't hear you. Oh, boy, you thought that was new, didn't you? Look at Numbers chapter 12, right there in the Bible. You're talking about a family in chaos? The Bible says, I'm not making this up, Moses' sister, Miriam, and his brother, the priest, Aaron, they came to him and they started what? Complaining. They were upset because the people were upset. And they were complaining that now we're out here in the wilderness. Here we are in the wilderness. We have no food. We have no water. God came up with a concept that he was going to take us to a land filled with milk and what? Honey. And they were frustrated. They wanted to go back to Egypt, back to slavery, back to bondage, and eat the food that were for the Egyptians. And even though God was at the center, They kept complaining and complaining so much, Moses became frustrated, and the Bible says that Moses struck a rock, and God wasn't pleased. God is a gracious God, but he's also a justice God. We must acknowledge that. And God told Moses right there on the spot that Moses would not lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But God was forgiving. He allowed the rock to give the people water. We haven't even seen that in our day and time, how a rock can give water. God was so generous, so gracious. He wanted to continue to support these complainers. God didn't move. He was still at the center. God still loved them. God was still kind. God still wanted a relationship with them, but they continued to complain, complain, and complain. And God wanted to bless them. Now, if you look on the screen, the next slide, I want to ask you a question. Only you can answer it. Are you a complainer or a comforter? Do people see you coming and want to run? Or do they want to see you coming like a magnet? They want to get next to you, to hear an encouraging word, an inspiring word. If you look closely, the people of God had the blessing of God, but yet they wanted to continue to complain. How do we know? Keep reading. Look at chapters in Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. In chapters 13 and 14, God had already blessed them with the word in chapter 6. But when you get to chapters 13 and 14, here are these grumbling complainers whining again. The Bible says they sent out 12 spies. And the 12 spies looked at the land of promise. And they looked and perused the whole land. And they came back with a report. It'll be just like if you get in your car now, drive just 2 miles down the road and see the land that God has given the church, and then come back and give us a report. You want to see how the report was made out? I know you do. Here it is. 10 of the spies came back. They were discouraged, but 2 of the spies were inspired, and they said, we can possess the land. We can take over the land. We can handle it. 10 gave the report that was negative. They were complainers. No, we can't do this. But then there were 2 who felt good and inspired because they kept God where? At the center. How do I know? Check this out. Write it down. I want you to look. If you've got a pew Bible, turn, it's a red Bible, turn to page 131. It's in Numbers, the 13th chapter and the 30th verse. I want you to listen to this carefully, and you're going to hear a word that deals with the title of the movie. Look at Numbers, the 13th chapter and the 30th verse, and listen to this report. Then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, let's go up now, take possession of the land, because we can certainly overcome it. We can certainly overcome it. They were overcomers. 10 spies, they noticed the giants. Right there in the text, 13th chapter. They noticed the giants. And they said, we look like grasshoppers. You see the little grasshoppers right here? Right at the bottom of the screen, and you see the giant. We can't possess the land with this giant. Too many giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers. Indeed, they were. But then Caleb and Joshua kept God where? At the center. It's not our focus is on the giant. Our focus is not on the opposition. Our focus is on the opportunity that God has given us, and we can possess the land because God is on our side. If you don't believe that, if you have your Bibles, look at 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. God can handle giants, any type of giant. How do I know? Because the Bible says one day David, the little shepherd boy, the second king of Israel, he came along and he noticed that his brother and all the military soldiers of God was hiding. And he noticed the Philistine giant, Goliath. And David said, I'll go deal with him. And David only had 5 smooth stones, and he only needed one. Because David didn't go out there in the strength of David or the intellect of David. He went out there in the name of the Lord. If we're going to accomplish what God has placed before us, we can't do it in our name. As it relates to the North campus or any territory, we have to do it in the name of the Lord. And David was able to kill the giant because he did it in the name of the Lord. Whatever opposition is in front of you, whatever giant is in front of you, you feel like a little grasshopper. You're just hopping alone. Know that if God is before you, then who can be against you? And the Bible reminds us in Isaiah, no weapon formed against me shall what? Prosper. It kept God in the center, right where he belonged. Because they receive the blessing of God. You look closely as I get ready to close. You look closely in the text in Numbers, the 6th chapter. And in Numbers, the 6th chapter, I want to call your attention to where you will actually see in the Old Testament the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Right here in the text, look closely in your sermon notes. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, we have God as the giver. Aaron says to the people, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord what? Bless you and keep you. How many of you know that a blessing can also be a burden? A blessing can be a burden. Because if you're not careful, other people will be jealous because you've been blessed and they haven't been blessed. Or you may assume that you're blessed based upon your works, your skills, your intellect, your inheritance. No. God is reminding us through his word that he wants to bless us. But then Aaron says, not only should we ask God to bless us, but to keep us. How many of you remember the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles? The 4th chapter, remember Jabez, he wanted God to increase his territory, but he asked God to keep his hands on him that he may not cause what? Harm or hurt or evil. A blessing can be a burden. But if we ask God to keep us, we can keep our mind stayed on him. You look when you go home at Matthew 7:11. Oh, thank heaven for 7:11. Matthew 7:11 reminds us, Jesus says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give unto you? James 1:17 reminds us that God is truly the supreme giver. Every good gift comes from above. It comes down to us from the Father of lights. He wants to bless each and every one of us. Amen? He is a giver. Well, look in. Look here in the 25th verse. In the 25th verse, we have these words. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. God is the giver. Jesus is the revealer. How do we know that Jesus wants indeed the Lord's face to shine and be gracious? How many of you remember the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery? The Bible says that there were men who were around ready to stone her. Jesus came in the midst of that. Jesus' face represents God. He was gracious to this woman because he just kneeled down and he wrote something on the ground. He that without sin among you cast the first stone. And the Bible says they all went away. And Jesus and this woman are there looking at each other. She's looking at the face of God. And Jesus asked her the question, woman, where's thy accusers? She said, Lord, I have none. He said, neither do I accuse you. go and sin no more. Look what he did for the tax collector. Told Zacchaeus to come down. Today, I'm going to sup with you. That's God's face. That's God's grace right there. Look at Paul. Look at other examples as Jesus shares the presence of God. Look when you go home in the mirror and see how indeed he's present in our lives and been gracious unto you and to me. Jesus is the revealer. But the last point, as it relates to the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God is a giver. Jesus is a revealer. But the Holy Spirit, praise be to God, is the sustainer. The Holy Spirit comes to sustain us. You look here, right here in the 26th verse, it says, may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you what? Peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. When you leave the sanctuary, I challenge you, when you go in the Northex, I want you to look at the banners. Each banner that's in that Northex reminds us of God's peace. Of God's peace. I don't know if that God's peace sounding now. But when it's answered, it's going to give us what? Peace. Peace is important in our lives and our day and time in which we live. I want to share this quote with you, and I want you to read it with me as it relates to our journey together as the people of God. Let us read it together. You don't need to know where you're going if you know God is leading. Let's read that again. You don't need to know where you're going if you know God is leading. We're reminded to keep God where? The hymnologist says, where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, not some of the way, not part of the way, not as long as I feel like it or feel comfortable, but I'll go with him all the way. In Jesus' name, may God bless you.